All right, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, the John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champo.
Well, Hillary and Obama still droning on in their latest debate in Pennsylvania in there. Is that... By the way, it's on the network tonight. Oh, here's Obama.
Who are middle income, individuals making $75,000 a year or less, that they would get a tax break so that families would see up to $1,000 worth of relief. Senior citizens who are... have earnings of less than $50,000 wouldn't have to pay.
So
again, once again, it's yeah. Let's take from people he considers to be wealthy.
So if you're making $76,000 a year, you're rich and you don't get a tax break.
Yeah, you're screwed by Obama.
Gee, I bet you if you're making $76,000 here in Southern California, you feel like a wealthy guy, don't you?
I guess he's researched the numbers to show that he'll get enough votes for people that make under $76,000 a year.
Yeah, why 75?
Keeps running with that thing. Boy, he is truly left-wing. Anyway, if any fireworks happen, there's the debate tonight in Philadelphia.
She's got to kick
them. Bring them to you.
She's got to kick them.
Action, if you want to see it, it's on the ABC network, and it's going to be tape-delayed, shown here at 8 o'clock, because it's 8 o'clock live on the East Coast.
Prime so. Time.
Hey, you'd have to listen to it on the internet, which is
right.
What we're doing.
There's something called the SAVE Act that the Republicans in the House have been trying to get a vote on because they suspect... If everyone is forced on a yes or no vote, there's a lot of Democrats who'd vote for the SAVE Act. What is that? Well, among other things, it would mandate employers in this country to verify the Social Security numbers of all their workers. And that would be the best way to stop illegal aliens from being hired. Now, what's happened is that obviously the Democratic leadership wants no part of this, so the Speaker Nancy Pelosi will not schedule a vote on the matter, but there's a way to get around Pelosi, and that's if you get a certain number of congressmen to sign what's called a discharge petition, which forces it to a vote. Well, they need some Democratic votes here, and there's a lot of Democrats who say they're in favor of this SAVE Act, but they won't actually sign the discharge petition, probably because Pelosi has put a gun to their head.
Yeah, the co-authors of this bill include a Democrat, Heath Shuler from North Carolina. You may remember that name if you follow football. He was a college football star at Tennessee and played in the NFL for a while. And Brian Bilbray from down in Solana Beach is the other author of the bill.
See,
but it is stuck right now, and it is the only chance to get meaningful reform on illegal immigration before the November votes. Congressman Ed Royce will talk to us about this and a lot of other things about this bill, including this E-Verify program.
Ed, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well.
All right, so how many congressmen do you need to sign the petition to force it to a vote?
We need 31 more. We have 186. And right now we need to receive, we need 217 given the number of members we've got serving in the House right now. That'd be a majority right now.
So you've been stuck in the 180s now for a couple of weeks.
Right, but we've got 43 co-sponsors of the bill that now have cold feet and don't want to sign the discharge petition.
And are they all Democrats?
No, they're not. Some of them are Republicans as well. But in the meantime, what I wanted to share with you...
So they're co-sponsoring a bill, but they don't want to vote on it.
They don't want to vote on it. And so that's why, as we've gone through the process of getting the information out on this, a lot of heat has been turned up on a lot of members, 186 so far, who've signed on. In the meantime, the states are passing E-Verify and are putting it into place. So now we've got Arizona and Colorado and Georgia, Oklahoma, Mississippi, this program.
Let's explain. In Arizona, they passed a law that says any business caught hiring illegal aliens is put on probation. And if it's caught doing the same thing again, the state revokes its business license. And the only defense for an employer is if it used E-Verify. And if they could claim, well, there was a mistake in the federal database, then they may be able to excuse themselves from prosecution. Otherwise... They're
screwed.
They're screwed.
And the federal court has just upheld it in a victory. But it was Congressman Ken Calvert, actually, that came up with this idea of a 1-800 number where the immigration authorities would check the Social Security number and could tell you, oh, that's a phony number. That's somebody else's Social Security number. So what he did was set up a voluntary system. What these five states have done is to make it mandatory. And what the E-Verify program would do nationally would be for employers, it takes less than 5 seconds to do it. You know, you just call this number, they can tell you. They just run the tape right there while you're on the phone. They pull it up and they say, no, there's 94 people using that Social Security number. Only one of them's valid, and this is not one of them. That person's here illegally. They send that information back, and then you've got a record of it. And the employer knows that they can't take that deduction then on the tax return if they pay the wages to that illegal immigration or immigrant, or they're in violation and the IRS will sanction them. So it's a tremendous downside risk, and suddenly it's a way to comply, force everybody to comply with the law.
So you do trust this E-Verify system. You think the database is in pretty good order?
Well, not only that, but we have examples from Arizona where originally the Chamber of Commerce in Arizona came out against it and opposed the measure in the legislature. But after they saw the way it worked, their spokesman said companies, frankly, have not left the state. They've reported no problems with the database, no major problems. The backlash that we originally thought is not there. It's working well. And that's from the chamber that was originally a little concerned about.
Isn't it amazing how all the scare stories, the sky are falling story,
the old Arizona economy would collapse? Are they finding employees then, I guess?
Oh, yes. They're finding employees. And, of course, you know, especially if you're going into a recession and people are looking for work, you want to make certain that it's citizens that get those jobs.
Well, isn't this a great way to get thousands of Americans off unemployment and get them jobs and get them paying taxes instead of taking taxes?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is another case where a lot of grassroots efforts forced this bill to the governor's desk. In this case, it was Governor Napolitano, a Democrat. She criticized it before she signed it and after she signed it, but she felt compelled to sign it.
Right,
she said, I had to sign it because of the problem with illegal immigration in our state.
Let's go back to getting this SAVE Act voted on,
yes,
on the House floor, okay? So you need, and Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, is no way she's going to schedule this for a vote on her own. You have to get around her by getting 217 congressmen and women to sign what's known as a discharge petition, right?
Yes.
And you have 186, and so you need 31 more. Mm-hmm. You got 43 co-sponsors of the bill who don't want to sign the petition to vote on it, which is really stupid. So what can you do, what can anybody do to get specifically these 43 people to change their votes? Because on the Democratic side, you know they got a gun to their head from Pelosi, that they're going to be relegated to a toilet stall for an office if they sign this petition.
But on the other hand, people understand now that the vast majority of the public, 80%, support this. So when the congressman gets a phone call, he thinks it's the equivalent of 1,000 people out there that feel that way.
Right, but you
got
you
a letter and email.
You got to get the people in his district,
yes,
to call in. Now, how are you able to do that?
Well, one of the best tools for this, of course, is talk radio, because talk radio is a way to quickly impart information.
Right. Are you getting on the local shows, though,
yes,
in these guys' districts?
Across the country we're doing that. And that's how we've ramped up to 186. And we know that there are a lot of members on the fence. They just need the push, you know, especially a lot of Democratic members. We've got most of the Republicans signed up. We need some more Democratic members. Members like Heath Shuler, you know, he's leading the charge. He's a Democrat, but he's seen the problem in his state. A lot of people have seen the problem in this state. They need, whether
well,
they're
some
Democrats,
of these Democrats
or Republicans, they need to call their member of Congress.
Well, some of these Democrats, as I understand, Ed, were elected by running tough on illegal immigration.
Oh, that's another point. Yeah, if we take the list of number of members who ran that they were going to be tough on illegal immigration, that's, you know, more than two-thirds. That's three-quarters of the U.S.
Well,
Congress.
We should tell them maybe your Republican opponent's going to use that against you in November unless you get this thing moving.
Yeah, because a lot of these guys,
you didn't come to the plate when it was time.
They all have their shtick when they're running for office. They all have their shtick when they want to make a statement. It's like, well, I'm co-sponsoring a bill, and that's what they tell everybody back home.
Right.
And most people, you know, you could talk to 1,000 people, you won't find one who will know what the hell a discharge petition is.
Now I should mention one other thing about it. The bill also has mandatory notification of Social Security number mismatches when the Department of Homeland Security will have the opportunity to actually compare this with the immigration authorities and also with Social Security. So for the first time, we'll be able to clean up the file and find out who's using all of these phony Social Security numbers and we'll be able to take action on that too. So that's also important in the bill, as well as the, you know, the infrastructure to secure the border and the new agents and the other things we put in the bill that we'd like to see. More detention capacity. We've got more beds, you know, so that the removal of illegal aliens will be easier. We increase the number of federal district court judges to do that. We employ more ICE agents and so forth. So there are different components of the bill, but I'd say what's original about it is this idea that Ken Calvert originally came up with, Congressman Calvert, for this 1-800 number that now has been tried in Arizona and these other states and is so effective.
All right, hang on the line. We got Congressman Ed Royce here from Fullerton explaining about this SAVE Act, which would require employees all over the country to use an E-Verify system. You can't hire an employer until you do a Social Security match to see that that number is legal.
All right, this would take away this thought where, oh, well, they come in and these documents look good to me, and what am I going to do? I got to hire them. I can't say they're fraudulent. Well, now you can actually check the Social Security numbers into the federal database to see if they're good.
And here, the deal is they need 31 more congressmen to sign a petition to force a vote one way or the other on the House floor. And they've got 43 co-sponsors of the bill who won't sign the petition to force the vote.
Bizarre.
How many phony buffoons we have. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Bet you can't listen just once.
A Hispanic male and a black female come together from rival gangs. They create life.
Oh, God, Brian, that's beautiful.
Then they physically have an altercation at her place of work over what gang he should join. That's the missing reel of West Side Story, as far as I'm concerned.
Kennedy in suits.
Tonight at 7.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. We're talking with Ed Royce, the congressman from Fullerton, the Republican, who's telling us about the SAVE Act that they're trying to get through the House, at least, and it would do a number of things, but mainly would require employers to use an E-Verify system. This is a federal database that allows employers to match up Social Security numbers of would-be employees, and it's a way to thin out the illegal alien herd.
It's already being used in Arizona because they passed a state law there requiring it, and it's been upheld by the courts. And apparently, we haven't gotten to economic Armageddon in Arizona. Things seem to be working pretty well, even as Ed said, one of the Chamber of Commerce groups in Arizona that opposed the vote on this proposition months back says it's actually not working too badly.
All right, and the trick here is Nancy Pelosi doesn't want this voted on. So they're trying to get 217 members to sign a petition to force a vote on the floor. They got 186. They need 31 more. There's 43 co-sponsors of the bill, mostly Democrats, who don't want to sign the petition to force a vote.
Well, let's get Ed back on
the
show.
Fakers.
Is there anybody from Southern California in that list, Ed?
I think we're doing a pretty good job on the Republican side. We need to get some of our Democrat members on board. And let me tell you another reason
why. But there were no Democrats from California that were sponsors of this bill originally, I would tell you.
Well, I can't remember any that signed the discharge petition yet, so we need to work on that. Now, let me say, this is why I think we're gaining momentum. We had a vote yesterday on ending the sanctuary city policy. That vote, we originally won by one vote. 210 to 210. It ended up tied because even though the time elapsed when they were supposed to pound the gavel, Sheila Jackson Lee was in the chair. She represented a sanctuary city, so she left the vote open against the rules for an extra 15 minutes or so.
All right, can I ask you something?
Yes.
If it's against the rules, then why doesn't the original vote stand?
Well, that's a question. You know,
I hear this all the time.
Sanctuary vote that we've got an investigation on a vote we won by one vote. But let me tell you about the.
But isn't there a ref to blow a whistle and say, okay, vote's over, illegal vote?
Yeah, we have taken action on a previous vote like this. That's a sanctuary city vote, and there's an investigation going on with appointed representatives from both political parties looking into what happened.
Well, you've just reviewed the tape, right? Everything.
And you review the tape.
Right, and there's a timer, right?
It's like
watching C-SPAN. There's a timer. There's a scoreboard. When the time runs out, what's the score? We win. Everybody go home.
And what's interesting about these votes is that now the momentum, because of what happened in San Francisco, you know, with the advertisements for the sanctuary city, where they did ads in Spanish and Chinese and Vietnamese and Russian and English, saying, you know, here's where how you get your services and welcoming illegal immigrants, and then saying they're not going to enforce any of the federal laws, and on top of it, the mayor there just put together as immigrants rights administrator to work with the city agencies to better serve.
We want to put together a busload of illegal aliens here and drive them up to San Francisco.
Drop them off.
Well, what's happening is because of the pressure from this kind of activity in these sanctuary cities, it is forcing members of Congress that might not otherwise want to cast these votes to realize that they've got to do something. So in this last vote that I'm telling you about yesterday, we managed to get all of the Republicans except for three from Miami, three Cuban-American members we couldn't convince. But it has to do with the sanctuary city policy down there. And then we got several dozen Democrats to come over and vote with us. And indeed, if we can get a few more votes, you know, you can see what's happening here as people become more and more aware of the sanctuary city policies that are undermining federal law, and they're seeing, hey, we've got a deficit in the state of California of over $10 billion and the costs here are over $10 billion a year from illegal immigration. You begin to see that the ability here to change this outcome is dependent upon getting information out to the electorate who are affected by these decisions and getting an end to the sanctuary city policy and to get the SAVE Act, you know, with this E-Verify system in place.
Yeah, and we got to go, but I just got to say, with regards to the SAVE Act, we've been trying to get Heath Shuler on the show. If you can be of any help, because we'd like to talk to a Democrat who wants to do something about illegal immigration.
All right, working hard on this. I'll talk
to
you tomorrow.
All right, Ed, thanks. Thanks for coming on. When we come back, we're going to have another reading of the Corona Heidel transcripts, and potentially somebody's going to read it in Arabic.
And this is the sentimental one where, you know, Corona says he loves the crab cake, man, and he loves you, Mr. Heidel. So, yes, let's hope our foreign language reader shows up. It's coming up next.
Terry Elmer at the News Now on the John and Ken Show.
Is Mr. Stein going to speak Arabic if the other guy doesn't show up?
Yes.
Very good question.
Okay. Yes, we're going to force him to. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Your personal Jiminy Cricket.
You did the wrong thing in not shutting your mother down a long time ago. You did the wronger thing telling your husband to make him feel bad and embarrassed. So you've done two things not right. Aren't you happy you called me? I just made your day.
Dr. Laura, tomorrow at noon.
This is KFI.
You know, I find you very vulgar.
And now.
And offensive.
Another installment of.
Both of you people are indecent.
John and Ken, taint the jury pool.
You're uncivil.
For former disgraced Orange County Sheriff, Mike Corona.
You're a threat to our constitutional form of government, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Absolutely incredible, and thank you, KFI.
Oh, we got a good one here. We got two guys, Greg and Matt. Greg is going to do Heidel in English.
Which is kind of funny because Greg Heidel, Don Heidel.
That's right. This is not Greg Heidel, is it?
Yep.
And and we have Matt, who's going to do Mike Corona in Arabic.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, so Greg, you're there.
Why do you speak Arabic, Matt?
My dad worked for an oil company, so, I mean, we moved around a lot. I lived in a whole bunch of fun places growing up.
All right.
Now, John is suspicious because you're apparently a white man.
I am very white.
All right.
Are either one of you from Orange County?
No.
No, neither one of you.
I grew up in Orange County.
You grew up in Orange County. All right, well, if you go back home, maybe you can get picked for the jury pool. All right, let's start the ambience. And again, this is segment two. These are the secretly recorded conversations made by Don Heidel of these lunches he had with Mike Corona, which, of course, are the subject of a motion concerning the John and Ken Show, which we'll get to in a moment. But let's have
Greg and Matt.
And Matt, you start with your Arabic version of Mike Corona.
هذا مثال نعم كان كورونا مثل هذا بكل شخص بكل شخص ليش لهم هذا جيدي كوف ليش لهم هذا الآن لهم هذه مشكلة وهي محددة جدا وهي قدمة من جورج تعرف هذا في حقيقة جورج وجو القانون هنا القانون أنت ما أعطي لي كثيرا من القود من محمد جورج لن يعطي لكثير من النقود من محمد. داد لم تعطي كثير من النقود من محمد. إذا جورج وجو يقول هذا لكن هذا تذاب. الله كان ليس كثير من النقود سوى النقود من جيبك. Sorry, I can't read my hand right here. لحتى يبقى أشياء. أنا ما أحرف حين يثبون بمساحتك.
There seems to be more Arabic than there is English.
All right, hold on. Matt, right. What segment yeah. number are you reading from? Do you know?
Yeah, I am reading from Exhibit D.
D? No, we have one, we have 1, 2, 3, and 4.
It should say segment two?
Segment one.
Oh, you're reading
segment... Oh, you want me to read segment two?
Well, it's just because the other fella and Greg, are you reading from segment one or two?
Segment two.
That's what we're supposed to be...
Oh, got it. Okay, I got segment two now. Good to go.
Can you do segment two?
Yeah, I can do segment two.
All right, let's start the beginning, because, yeah, I was confused, and I think Greg, the guy that's doing Greg, I thought Heidel was confused.
Is there 12 words of Arabic for every English word? That's what it was looking like here. All right, go. Okay.
You
start
sure
again.
You can do segment two? I start again. You're Mike Corona, so go ahead,
we
Matt.
Can just do this tomorrow if you're...
No, I'm good.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, Mike Corona. Kanana Pibetkum, Fimedina Newport, Ale Dilahu El Mach Bezal Jadida. Jadikov, Nam, Wa Kanalek Milsel Ahora, Wa Anta Tukul in a Anaridun Anta. وأنت فتحت وكانوا كثير من الشيء هناك وأنت خالفت وأنا قلت أنا أنا تخالف ونحن لم نجب أن تحبك أنا أحبك لكن أنا لا أحتاج أي شيء أنا ما أحتاج أي شيء سوى صدقك أيوة
That's where the statue comes in because it was at the time of Gregory
شوفي
That was at the time of Gregory We are 5 years beyond
that. نعم أنا ممكن أقول أنا الآن.
We are in August 2007, and that was in July 2002.
أنا ممكن أقول.
We're 5 years past that now.
نعم أنا ممكن أقول. أولا أنت ما تحط أي شيء لي وأنا ما أحط أي شيء. بسبب أنا
This is the long part.
So, yeah, you guys are going to have to bear with me for a sec. Jean-Luc, Mike, and Don.
You know what? Just get through the one page here, okay?
All right. I'm on the second page now, dude. Up to the crackhead part. Kulad, hala misla talab Sultan al-Bahri. Ana akalu Sultan al-Bahri. Ana zuntu in anta tuhibu Sultan al-Bahri. Ana uridu in anta farhan. معلم كان كاميرا في شقفكم هذا الليلة إنه لم يحدث قط بسبب إنه لم يحدث قط دان لم يحدث قط وهذا هو السبب في أنني جاز من النوم جيدا في ليلة كل هذه خارة هي من دون هايدل جاءوا في حياتي وأنا أخرف إن أنت خراج جيدا وأنت أخذي تحبي وأنت تحبي حياتي وأنت تحبي كل خير لأنا وأنت تمكن أنت تمكن بالمخدرات وأنا سأقول بكم تقود إلى من دون هايدل إلى أنت أنا ما أخاف خايدا أنا ما أخرب دون هايدل وأنا كنت بكثير من الأشخاص وكثير من الأشخاص الذين لم يعرفوا من مايكرونا I'm kind of
stumbling
here. My page 7, if that helps
you
guys out.
You're on what page? 7. Oh, okay, you're all the way there.
I heard you say Mike Corona.
Like in Don Heidel, La Ovenuna Don Heidel Lehu Nakud Abedan. And Ahravuna Don Heidel, Listen Nakud Ayadan Lee. Listen Nakud Ayadan. Don Heidel Totuli Safina. And Totuli Safina. هذا مثل هذا مثل أنا ما أمكن أن أطير السفينة كتبت الشيك لهذا وهذا الشيء الذي صراح مختلفة سبب كان كثيرا الله لكن ما أخرف بهذا الله أنت تمكن أن كل هذا بمخدرات
How do you say flat ass in Arabic?
That's it.
Yeah, that's one of the words I had to gloss over. that's the end of his monologue as far as I got.
Okay.
I'm okay getting up on the stand and saying that.
Yeah. أنا بخير ب أنا بأنت أشلون هذا. I mean, hopefully, that would ever happen. I'm okay getting up on the stand and saying that. I would make their damn sure they're both on the same page. Una. And I want to... Sorry.
I think we could skip the part with the waitress. All right, very good, Matt. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Matt, just to ask, the crab cake, there's an Arabic word for that?
Yeah, there's an Arabic... The Arabic word for a cake is actually our word for male rooster. I'm not going to say it. I don't want you to get guys in trouble. The word for crab is asertan al-bahri. Literally, it means the cancer of the sea.
Oh, wow. And then there's a bleep word in there, mother bleeper. Did you translate that one?
Nope.
Oh, you left that word out?
Yeah, I left it. I mean, yeah, I wasn't too sure on the Arabic slang, so I just kind of left that one out.
Well, good job to both of you, especially you, Matt, on the fly there, taking segment two right in the middle of all that. We appreciate it. And good job doing Heidel, Greg. Thanks a lot for both of you coming on the air.
Thank you.
Tainting the jury pool with us today. All right. If you, Clay, if you just put them on hold for me there. Yeah, because the news today is that a motion has formally been filed in federal court in Santa Ana in the Mike Corona case, believe it or not, over what you just heard. I'll just pause and let you reflect on that. And if you're just tuning in, it was a little bizarre. We were tainting the jury pool with a couple of our listeners, taking the parts of Corona and Heidel in these secretly recorded conversations, and one of the guys was doing Mike Corona's voice in Arabic. This is what this motion is all about. It's because the John and Ken show, they say largely what the motion is all about. The John and Ken show has been attempting to taint the jury pool in the upcoming trial. So the motion seeks to move the trial out of Orange County. Now, from what we understand, they may not have a hearing on this until May, about a month from now. But the motion has been formally introduced into the court, but it's sealed. So while the LA Times is filed another motion to unseal the motion, if you can follow all that, so we can find out what's inside of it, for now, we don't really know. We just know the words of the attorney for Mike Corona, his name is Brian Sun, saying that it is largely due to the John and Ken tainting of the jury pool and a few things John may have had to say about lying to get on the jury. So that's all in that. So we'll be keeping an eye on that motion, and we'll have another reading of the jury pool tomorrow. We're supposed to have an LA Times reporter join us in studio with a photographer to, very exciting in radio, to take pictures, but that's what they want to do, to witness the tainting of the jury pool. So that's coming up tomorrow. All right, so John and Ken show, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, the John and Ken show. John Cobell, Ken Champeau, but John got so worked up over that Arabic speaker that he left the studio to go check him out. Yeah, we're going to send a Hamas mouse after them. Hey, tomorrow, we're scheduled to have a conversation with Monica Ramos. You know, it's been 1 year and 91 days in prison for the former Border Patrol agents, Nacho Ramos and Jose Compiègne. 1 year and 91 days. We are still waiting. Believe me, I check almost every single day for a decision to come out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. It's a federal court. Back on December 3rd, they heard arguments in the Ramos-Compiègne case, particularly one that they seemed interested in, which is that this punishment was too severe for whatever they did. They didn't finish filing reports. In case you're new to the show, the former Border Patrol agents Ramos and Compiègne were convicted for shooting at an illegal alien drug runner who came across the border. They believe that he may have had a gun. There was a struggle. The drug runner ran off, but he seemed to turn with what Agent Nacho Ramos thought might be a gun. So Ramos fired, and one of the bullets hit him in the butt. So not only is he suing our government, these two Border Patrol agents were convicted for driving him out of the country, an illegal alien drug runner. And by the way, he came back later that year with his free border pass and bought more drugs into the country. And apparently, I think it's tomorrow, the day after, that trial is going to start. They finally charged him with that second drug run. So we're also going to be following those events out of Texas. But I can't tell you, I have no understanding as to why this appeals court in New Orleans hasn't issued an opinion yet. One of the charges that they were convicted of was discharging a firearm in the commission of the crime, something that is normally charged of drug runners and other criminals. It's very rarely used against police, and in this case, federal agents. But that carried a 10-year mandatory sentence. They would be out of prison right now if they were not convicted of that one charge. And as I recall, at least one of the justices, perhaps two, there were three that were involved in this hearing, was very sympathetic, at least in his questioning, to the fact that Ramos and Compiègne were definitely punished too severely and that the 10-year sentence was way out of line. So we're waiting to see exactly what decision is going to be made. Most of the time we're told it's 90 days, maybe maximum 120 days after these courts hear these cases. But here we are. It's 4+ months, which is well past 120 days, and we have nothing yet. So tomorrow, and I can't tell you what hour yet, but we're going to get an update on how things are going for the family of Nacho Ramos when we talk to his wife, Monica Ramos. And we're also scheduled to do next month, and we'll give the exact date, time, and location, a fundraiser for Agents Ramos and Compiègne, which involves the screening of a movie about the border. So all that's coming tomorrow on the show. To Monica Ramos will be coming on the show tomorrow to update you on what's going on with her husband, who's been in prison for 1 year and 91 days. And I tell you, a day doesn't go by that you people don't email me wondering what has happened with the case of Ramos and Compiègne and the federal appeals court decision. And we're watching, too, so we're not giving up on that story, and we'll stay with it. A couple of other notes coming out of Sacramento. Since they don't have anything, since they won't do anything on the budget, they're at a standstill. They're waiting to see what you, the public, wants to do as far as tax increases or spending cuts. They're spending their time with a lot of other drivel, including a legislator who wants to ban people from driving with their pets in their lap. It's Assembly Bill 2233, which would fine drivers $35 if they're caught driving with a live animal in their lap. This is Assemblyman Bill Mays who introduced the bill. He noted that in an accident in which the car is traveling 30 miles per hour, an untethered 60-pound dog can cause an impact of 2,700 pounds. Now, I don't know that you'd have a 60-pound dog on your lap. Most of the time when I see these people, they're driving with the little foo-foo dogs, as much as it's usually like a weird-looking lady with a dog, a tiny dog with his head sticking out the window, driving along in her lap there. As much as I find that really bizarre, I don't see the need to fine them $35. You know, it's their dog, whatever they want to do with it. All right, Kennedy.